Love so amazing, it demands my life, my all. Hello. Anybody? Did anybody hear that while we were just singing? What I'm saying is that Christ's love is so overwhelming, so great, it demands everything in return from us. Our life, our all. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This chapter is what we has come to be known as the Sermon on the Mount. And we're not gonna pick it up right at the first, but we're gonna pick it up in verse 13. But I want you to kind of understand the context of where this passage is coming from. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And here's what he would tell them in verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. You, church, are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Church, if that is your prayer this morning, I want you to say it with me. Come, Holy Spirit. Say it again. Come, Holy Spirit. Spirit, speak in power and authority. And change us. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, in fact, the next 2 weeks, we're going to be speaking about this verse and then the next couple after it. But today we're going to focus on this verse 13. And the title of this sermon is Pass the Salt. Pass the Salt. I have learned more about salt this week than I probably any human being should know about salt. Because I've been studying salt. Why would Jesus refer, why would he refer to his people as salt, salt of the earth? I was talking with some this morning that about this passage, and that Jesus does not select his metaphors lightly. He talked about himself as being the living water, the bread of life, And so he's telling us, the church, to be salt. Salt in Jesus' time and still today had enormous significance in the culture. I want to just kind of give you some facts some of the things that I've learned about salt this week, and you may know some of this, but it is salt is the most common and readily available non-metallic mineral in the world. Salt, and it's also the chemical name sodium chloride, occurs naturally all over the world, and it occurs in three forms. It occurs as a mineral, as well as in seawater and salt lakes. And really, the ocean is really the origin of all salt, but it manifests itself in mineral deposits and so on and so forth. There, did you know this? There are over 14,000 known uses for salt. Hello, 14,000. I want to just hit a couple of these. I'm not going to list all 14,000. If anybody would like to stay later, I can go and finish the list later with you. But 40% of salt is converted by chemical companies into chlorine and soda ash, which are foundational ingredients for certain types of other things in what they call inorganic chemistry. So they use this chlorine and soda ash in other things that are derived from this salt. It's used for, and this is probably our most common use of salt, is used for seasoning, flavor. It's used as a preservative. Did you know that salt is also a disinfectant? Hello? Are you awake out there? Is this... It's used as a disinfectant. It's used in ceremonial, back in Jesus' time especially, in ceremonial offerings. It was a unit of exchange, salt. Did you know that back in biblical times, many times that salt would have the same value per ounce as gold? It would be a one-for-one exchange. Salt was that precious. We use it to salt our roadways and our sidewalks when we have ice and so forth. And one of the things that I think is very relevant is that we, all humans and animals, have to have salt. If you go to the hospital and you're ill, and one of the first things they do is hook you up to a saline drip IV, because your body is 75% roughly of your body is water. But did you know that it's salt water? It's not fresh water. In fact, did you know that you can poison yourself by drinking too much fresh water? Chris is back there. He's our water guy, man. I should have called you on the water deal. But our bodies are 75% roughly salt water. And if you drink too, in fact, there was some people a couple of years ago, radio station was doing this goofy promotion where, I'm sorry, but it was kind of goofy. But whoever, they had these people in their office while they were on the air, and they said, whoever can drink the most water without going to the bathroom the longest wins this game station or something. And one of the contestants died, because you can actually drink so much fresh water that it dilutes the salt water content in your system, and it will literally poison you to death. Animals, and many of you that are farmers and ranchers know that you put out salt blocks for animals because they have to have salt to be healthy. And they'll lick these blocks, and they put different minerals in there, and so on and so forth. The cells in our body swim in this saline solution. Again, roughly 75% of our body mass is made up of that. And even our blood itself is made up of the same chemical balance of sodium, potassium, and calcium found in salt water in the oceans. Salt. Jesus said, we're the salt of the earth. What do you think he's trying to tell us? You know, if what we don't realize until you really dig a little bit deeper is that salt permeates every inch of our culture, every inch of our lives. Salt plays a major role in all of that. So the first thing I want us to look at, Jesus is saying very clearly, you're not like salt. You are salt. That's what Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth, he said. You add flavor to life, Jesus says. Because of who you are and the message of the gospel that you have inside of you, you add flavor to life. More specifically, that which you possess, which is the gospel, which is the Holy Spirit, that which you possess is salt. It is just like as our bodies require salt to live, so people require this salt that we are, this salt of Jesus, this salt of the gospel. That message, which is the gospel, is essential to life, is what Jesus is saying. It preserves life. He's saying, you're the salt of the earth, church. You have the secrets of life preservation and eternal life. Without salt, hear this, without salt, there is only death. Are you feeling pressure yet, church? Jesus has said, we are salt. Without salt, things die. Without salt, things die. Second thing. And this is kind of, I hope this kind of gets you thinking, because it's got me thinking. Second thing Jesus says is, you can lose your saltiness. Hello. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole once saved, always saved kind of thing, you know, because I'm sure I'll be, that would take some time for us to go there this morning. But he says it very clearly. If salt loses its saltiness, so what does that mean? It can lose its saltiness. And we have to determine what exactly does that mean. Perhaps it's tied to our salvation. I tend to think maybe not so much. I think he's talking about our witness the good that we are to the kingdom. But he says if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? What Jesus is basically saying is once salty does not always mean salty. If you were salty, does not mean that you will always be salty. There's something that we have to, this pressing in to God that maintains our saltiness. Because Jesus is saying this, not me. Jesus is saying that if salt loses its saltiness, so, church, how salty are you? How salty are we? Are we as salty as we were last year? And I want you to personalize this. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about each one of us. I want you to challenge yourself. Are we as salty as we once were? Are we saltier than we've ever been? Because Jesus is saying, watch out. Because you can lose your saltiness. And it cannot be made salty again. Jesus says you can lose your saltiness. And he says without saltiness, we are of no value to the kingdom. Third thing. Salt left in the shaker is useless. I want to do a little experiment. I grew up. How many of you like cantaloupe? I think this has only been here for a couple of weeks. It's all right. How many of you like cantaloupe? How many of you like to put something on the cantaloupe? How many of you like to put salt on the cantaloupe? Y'all are really cool people. I like y'all. Raise your hand good enough. If you like salt on the cantaloupe, raise your hand. Hold up. All right, take your hand in. If you don't like salt on the cantaloupe, raise your hand real loud, real high. Y'all are some weird people, man. Y'all are really weird. Cheryl thinks I'm strange because I like salt on my cantaloupe. All right, I need two volunteers. Payne and Brandon. Y'all, give them a hand. Come on up. I appreciate you guys volunteering. All right, y'all stand right here side by side. Get you a fork. All right. Here, y'all. Yeah, that's good. All right. Are y'all willing to eat a piece of cantaloupe? All right, this is unsalted cantaloupe. Okay, unsalted cantaloupe. Just.
We did like go for it in unison.
Yeah, go ahead. How is that?
Good.
Is it good cantaloupe? All right, y'all hold out a second. Would you? Now I want y'all to just no, don't get the hate on me. I didn't say get another piece. Hold the bowl.
Together.
All right. Would y'all like to try? Are you willing to try it with a little salt?
Sure.
I have salt here.
How much are you gonna put on there? Jeez, Kip, that's a lot of salt.
All right. Now you have salt. Try it. See how you like it. It's better, isn't it?
Tastes the same.
It tastes the same, but I've got salt.
I think you left it in the shaker.
Oh, it has to be, something has to happen with this?
I think so.
What has to happen with it?
It needs to be poured out of the
okay.
shaker.
Okay. All right, take that over there and share it with your neighbors. How many of us are full shakers of salt that never get poured out? You see, the fact that I was standing there with this big old humongous carton of salt standing beside the cantaloupe didn't change anything. How many of us are walking around full shakers of salt that never gets poured out? You see, Jesus was, it was a pretty brutal verse. He says that when we lose our saltiness, and staying in the shaker is the same thing as losing your saltiness, friends. We're no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Those are not my words. Those are our Lord and Savior's words. And he says a similar passage in Luke 14. I want you to read. He says it a little more bluntly. I want to read this to you. If salt loses its saltiness, it is fit neither for the soil nor the manure pile. It is thrown out. Now, with the risk of being crude, we're not even good for the dung pile. Unsalty salt. Jesus says, it's not even worthy of throwing in the poop pile. Man, is anybody else attention gotten by that besides me? So I want to ask you again, how salty are we? You know, a lot of you ladies that like to fix up your table nice and pretty, don't you? You know, every time we have a meal, we'll do it for the Palm Sunday meal. Some of our ladies will want to put pretty, you know, tablecloths on and make the tables look real nice and everything. Me, I'm just like, give me a plate and a fork and I get out of the way. You know, I'm fine. This plastic table is just fine with me. But ladies like things to be pretty, and they set the table, and they, and you know, if you're home, you might put some crystal out or whatever. But you normally have a salt and pepper shaker on the table. I mean, it's there to be used. It's there to be poured out. If all it was a table decoration, it would be worthless. Jesus is saying, do you flavor life? Do you preserve life? Are you something that permeates? Does the gospel permeate every piece of who you are and everything you touch? Is it permeated with the gospel, with salt? Unless it is poured out, it is of no value. So, without us knowing it, there's 14,000 different uses for salt. Without us knowing it, it permeates our culture. It permeates our life. And that's what Jesus is telling us to be like that. To be this salt of the earth that permeates everything. How we raise our children. Are we salt? Are our children seeing salt in the home? How we treat our spouse? Is it more about what they've done for us lately, or is it more about how can I serve them? The selfless love. How about what we read? How we vote? What we're putting into our mind? How we vote? How we conduct ourselves at work, how we conduct ourselves as we drive, how we conduct ourselves at our child's sporting events. Uh-oh. I won't get into who or whatever, but I know a strong Christian who people have come to me and go, man, you don't want to see him at his, I mean, you know, I know he's a strong Christian, but you don't want to see him at his son's ball game. It gets ugly. I mean, really, how are we doing? Are we salt when we just select what we're going to watch on TV? Are we salt when we, how we spend our time and what movies we go to and support? How we treat our neighbor? What we do with our money? Are we salt? God wants to permeate every detail of our lives. He wants to flavor our lives so that we can be flavor to the world. Because see, church, we have as salt, we have something that nobody else has. As God's people, we have the gospel. We have the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we just walk around a full shaker and never pour ourselves out, we're not even good for the manure pile. That's what Jesus says. He wants to flavor our lives so that we can be flavor to the world. Jesus went on to say also in John 15, he says that it's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. How are we doing, church? Are we salt? I want that question to just kind of sink in for just a second. If you would, just kind of close your eyes. I'm going to ask that question again, and I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you how you're doing. Are you salt? Is your shaker full? Are you pouring yourself out? How salty are you? Father, I just I pray that you would make us be the salt of the earth. Father, just as the physical salt is necessary for life, what you have poured into us is necessary for life. Father, make us the salt of the earth and pour us out on a hurting world. Father, we need you to show us how. We need you to empower us with your Holy Spirit. Convict us. Convict us where we fall short. Father, I pray that when you think of us and when you think of Wiley United Methodist Church, you're pleased that we are a salty church, that we are a salty people. We have the words of life. Help us to share them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you as the praise team closes us, as we stand, I want to invite you, the altar rail is open. I want you to never leave this church without realizing that Jesus is calling you. Jesus is wooing you, and he wants relationship with you. And if this is the day that you say yes to him, I invite you to come forward and talk to me. We'll also have some folks at the altar that will pray with you. If anything is going on that you would like prayer for, please just let us know. Come, stand and let's close.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again.
Sing, I'm forgiven.
I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit dwells within me because you died and rose again.
Amazing love.
Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do.
Church, you are, as Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Go and be salty. You have the word of life. Go and share it. Go and tell someone. In Jesus' name, we are dismissed.
Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. In all I do.